smart, Mr. Blackadder, going somewhere nice?
No, I'm off to the theatre.
Well, don't you like it, then?
No, I don't. A lot of stupid actors strutting around, shouting with their chests thrust out so far, you'd think their nipples were attached to a pair of charging elephants. And the worst thing about it is having to go with Prince Mini-Brain.
Well, doesn't he like it either?
Oh, no, he loves it. The problem is he doesn't realize it's made up. Last year, when Brutus was about to kill Julius Caesar, the prince yelled out, "Look behind you, Mr. Caesar."
I can't see the point in the theatre. All that sex and violence. I'll get enough of that at home. Except for the sex, of course.
And while we're out, Baldrick, I want you to give this palace a good clean. It's so dirty, it would be unacceptable to a dung beetle that had lost interest in its career and really let itself go.
Come on, Blackadder, we'll miss the first act.
Coming, sir, as fast as I can. Stick the kettle on, Baldrick.
Now, sir, give I this advice to thee. Never, never, never trust thine enemy. Thy life is forfeit. Thy life is forfeit, sir, and at an end, like our poor play. We hope it pleased you, friend.
Certainly not, you murdering rotter! Guards, arrest that man!
This is only a play.
Oh, well, that's all very well, but what about the poor fellow who's dead? Saying it's only a play will not feed and clothe the little ones he leaves behind. Call the militia!
But, sir, he's not dead. See, he stands awaiting your applause.
Oh, I say, that's very clever. He's really dead. Oh, bravo! Bravo!
Last, the prince likes it. Oh, shit. We'll close tonight.
Pull a window! Smash the spinning jenny! Burn the rolling Rosalind! Destroy the going up and down a bit and then moving along Gertrude! And death to the stupid prince who grows fat on our profits!
I say, how exciting! This play's getting better and better! Bravo!
It's not a play anymore, sir. Put the bomb down and make your way quietly to the exit.
You old thing. Your trouble is you can't tell when something's real and when it's not.
I must say, Blackadder, that was a close shave. What on earth would an anarchist possibly want to kill you?
I think it might have been you he was after, sir.
Oh, hogwash. What on earth makes you say that?
Well, my suspicions were first aroused by his use of the words, death to the stupid prince. These are volatile times, Your Highness. The American Revolution lost your father, the colonies. The French Revolution murdered brave King Louis. And there are tremendous rumblings in Prussia. Although that might be something to do with the sausages. The whole world cries out, peace, freedom, and a few less fat bastards eating all the pie.
Well, yes, quite. I mean, something must be done. Any ideas?
Yes, sir. Next week it is your royal father's birthday celebrations. I suggest that I write a brilliant speech for you to recite to show the oppressed masses how unusually sensitive you are.
Well, tell me about these oppressed masses. What are they so worked up about?
They're worked up, sir, because they're so poor they are forced to have children simply to provide a cheap alternative to turkey at Christmas. Disease and deprivation stalk our land like two giant stalking things. And the working man is poised to overthrow us.
Oh, my God, and here he is!
Don't be silly, sir. That's Baldrick, my dog's body.
What's silly about that? He looks like an oppressed mass to me. Get him out of here at once.
Sure, Baldrick. Carry on with your cleaning elsewhere. And by the end of tonight, I want that dining table so clean I could eat my dinner off it.
Crikey, Blackadder, I'm dicing with death here. The sooner I can show how unusually sensitive I am, the better. Oh, I've just had another brilliant thought.
Another one, Your Highness?
Yes, another one, actually. You remember that one I had about wearing underwear on the outside to save on laundry bills? I'm thinking to myself, hello, why don't we ask those two actor chappies we saw tonight to teach me how to recite your speech? Brilliant, eh?
No, Your Highness. Feeble.
What?
I would advise against it. It's a feeble idea.
Well, tish and pish to your advice, Blackadder. Get them here at once. Damn it, I'm fed up with you treating me as if I'm some kind of a thickie. It's not me that's thick, it's you. And do you know why? Because I'm a bloody prince and you're only a butler. And we don't get those actors this minute, Mr. Thicky Black Thicky Adder Thicky.
Mrs. Miggins, I'm looking for a couple of actors.
Well, you've come to the right place, Mr. B. There's more Shakespearean dialogue in here than there are buns. All my lovely Poppins on their way to rehearsals for a little sip of coffee and a big dollop of inspiration.
You mean they actually rehearse? I thought they just got drunk, stuck on a silly hat, and trusted to luck.
No, there's ever so much hard work goes into the wonderful magic that is theatre today. Still, I don't expect you'd know much about that, being only a little butler.
They do say, Mrs. M, that verbal insults hurt more than physical pain. They are, of course, wrong, as you will soon discover. I stick this toasting fork in your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome Mr. David Keenly? The fabulous Enoch Moss.
Settle down.
I'm sorry, no autographs.
My usual, Mrs. M.
Oh, coming up, my lovely.
Well, if I can just squeeze through this admiring rubble.
Gentlemen,
I've come with a proposition.
How dare you, sir? You think, just because we're actors, we sleep with everyone.
Like being actors, you're lucky to sleep with anyone. I come here on behalf of my employer to ask for some elocution lessons.
Yeah, sir, that is quite impossible. We are in the middle of rehearsing our new play. We could not possibly betray our beloved audience by taking time off.
Oh, no. Mustn't upset the punters. Bums on seats, lady, bums on seats.
And what play is this?
It is a piece we penned ourselves, called The Bloody Murder of the Foul Prince Romero and His Enormous Beamed Wife.
A philosophical work, then.
Indeed, yes, sir. The violence of the murder and the vastness of the bosom are entirely justified artistically.
Right, well, I'll tell the prince that you can't make it.
Prince?
Sorry, yes. Didn't I mention that? It's the Prince Regent. Shame he can't make it. Still.
No, sir, please. No, please wait, sir. Off. Sir, I think we can find some time, do you not, Mr. Keenry?
Definitely, Mr. Watson.
No, you've got your beloved audience to think about.
Oh, sod the pros.
Yes, worthless bastards to a man.
It's nice to see artistic integrity thriving so strongly in the Well, this afternoon at 4, then, at the Palace.
What do you think?
Are you ill or something?
No, I was simply trying to look more like an actor.
Well, I'm sure you don't need the false moustache.
No?
No.
No! Oh. Begad, it's that oppressed mass again!
Sir, that is Baldrick spring cleaning.
Oh, yes, so it is.
Finish the job later, Baldrick.
Very well, sir. The cleaning or the being strangled?
Either suits me.
Look, Blackadder, this is all getting a bit hairy, isn't it? I mean, are you sure we can even trust these acting fellows? Last time we went to the theatre, three of them murdered Julius Caesar. And one of them was his best friend, Brutus.
As I have told you about 8 times, the man playing Julius Caesar was an actor called Kemp.
Really?
Yes.
Thundering jerkins. Well, Brutus must have been pretty miffed when he found out.
What?
That he hadn't killed Caesar after all, just some poxy actor called Kemp. Or he did go round to Caesar's place after the play and kill him then.
Oh, God, it's pathetic.
Is that the door?
Oh, don't worry, it's just the actors.
My Uncle Baldrick was in a play once.
Really?
Yeah, it was called Macbeth.
And what did he play?
Second cold piece. Macbeth wore him in the fight scenes.
So he was a stunt codpiece. Did he have a large part?
Depends who's playing Macbeth.
Incidentally, Baldrick, actors are very superstitious. On no account mention the word Macbeth this evening, all right?
Why not?
It brings them bad luck, and it makes them very unhappy.
Oh, so you won't be mentioning it either?
No. Well, not very often.
You should have knocked.
Oh, not, you impertinent butler. We're loud enough to wake the hounds of hell. Lead on, my God.
I shall.
Lest you continue in your quotation and mention the name of the Scottish play.
No, oh, never fear, I shan't do that.
By the Scottish play, I assume you mean Macbeth.
All the traitor, all the stores, but we may commence.
What was that?
You were exorcising evil spirits. Being but a mere butler, you will not know the great theatre tradition that one does never speak the name of the Scottish play.
What, Macbeth?
Hot potato off the stores, but to make amends.
Lord, you mean you have to do that every time I say Macbeth?
Hot potato off the stores, but to make amends.
Will you please stop saying that? Always call it the Scottish play.
So you want me to say the Scottish play?
Yes!
Rather than Macbeth.
Hot potato off the stores, but to make amends.
Say, what is all this hullabaloo? All this shouting and screaming and yelling blue murder? Why, it's like a play we saw the other day. What was it called?
Macbeth,
sir?
Ah! No. It was called Julius Caesar.
Oh, yes, of course. Julius Caesar. Not Macbeth. Are you sure you want these people to stay?
Of course, I asked them, didn't I, Mr. Thicky Butler?
Your Royal Highness, may I say what a great honor it is to be invited here?
Why, certainly.
Thank you. What a great honor that it is to be invited here to make merry in the halls of our King's Loins' most glorious outpouring. Now, Your Highness, shall we begin straight away?
Absolutely, yes. Now, I've got this...
Before we inspect the script, let us have a look at the stunts.
Right.
Yes. Now, the ordinary fellow stands... Like, well, as you do now.
Whereas, your hero stands with us.
Right, as you sort of like this.
Excellent, Your Highness. Even more so.
Oh, more like that. What's that noise?
It wasn't me. We are used to standing in this position.
Right. Came from over here. Anarchies!
Cleaner!
All right, so you've had a wash. That's no excuse.
Don't! That is Baldrick, spring
cleaning. Rubbish! Look, he's got a bomb!
It's not a bomb, sir. It's a sponge.
Oh, yes, sure it is. We'll get it out of here at once before it explodes. Studs, I'm sorry about that. I think we really had something there.
Oh, yes, Your Highness. Why, your very posture tells me here is a man of true greatness.
Either that or here are my genitals. Please.
Sir, I really must ask that this ill-educated oaf be removed from the room.
Yes, get out, sir. Your presence here is as useful as fine-boned china at a tea party for drunken elephants.
Is that right? Well, yes, hang it all. Get out, Blackadder, and stop cooking our duties.
Certainly, Your Highness. I'll leave you to dribble in private.
Nothing wrong, Mr. B?
I've just about had it up to here with that prince. One more insult and I'll be handing in my notice.
Oh, does that mean I'll be butler?
Not unless some kindly passing surgeon cuts your head open with a spade and sticks a new brain in it.
Oh,
now, why I put up with it? I really don't. Every year at the Guild of Butlers' Christmas party, I'm the one who has to wear the red nose and the pointy hat for winning the Who's Got the Stupidest Master competition. Well, all I can say is he'd better watch out. One more foot wrong and the contract between us will be as broken as this milk jug.
But that milk jug isn't broken.
You really do walk into these things, don't you?
And now, sir, at last, the speech.
Right.
No, Your Royal Highness. What have you forgotten?
Oh, now look, if I stand any more heroically than this, I'm in danger of seriously disappointing my future queen.
Not the stance. The roar.
You want me to roar?
Well, of course we wish you to roar. All great orators roar before commencing their speeches. It is the way of things. Mr. Kenrick, from your Hamlet, please.
Oh, to be or not to be.
From your Julius Caesar.
Oh, friends, Romans,
countrymen. And from your leading character in a play connected with Scotland.
That's Macbeth, isn't it?
Hot potato off the stove, but we'll make a man.
Let's all roar together, shall we? One, two, three.
Oh! It's the giant. Now, shall we try putting it all together?
Right.
I'm accustomed as I am.
And as I fear, you mew it like a frightened tree. May I see the street?
Oh, no, no, no.
Who wrote this drivel?
Oh. Is there a problem with the speech?
Well, yes, there is a problem, actually. The problem is that you wrote it, Mr. Hopelessly Drivelly Can't Write for Toffee Crappy Butler Wee.
Something that has first passed through the digestive system of the cat.
And you'll have to take it up yourself.
Why?
Because I'm leaving, Baldrick. I'm about to enter the job market. Right, let's see. Situation's vacant. Mr. and Mrs. Pitt are looking for a baby minder to take Pitt the Younger to Parliament. The political George Stevenson has invented a moving kettle. Someone to help with the marketing. Oh, there's a foreign opportunity here. Treacherous, malicious, unprincipled cad, preferably non-smoker, wanted to be king of Sardinia. No time wasters, please. Napoleon Bonaparte, P.O. Box 1, Paris. We're on our way.
Sir, about costume. Any thoughts?
Well, enormous trousers, certainly.
Certainly.
And then I thought perhaps an admiral's uniform. Because we know what all the nice girls love, don't we? I tell you what, why don't I go and try them on for you?
Oh, a super idea.
Help yourself to wine. You'll need a stiff drink when you see the size of these damn trousers.
My dear, what a ghastly evening.
You're so right, love.
Look, while he's gone, why don't we have a quick read through the murder of Prince Romero and his enormous bosom.
Act one, scene one. Spring has come with all his gentle showers. Methinks it is time to hack the prince to death.
Baldrick, I would like to say how much I will miss your honest and friendly companionship.
Ah, thank you, Mr. B.
But as we both know, it would be an utter lie. I will therefore confine myself to saying simply, sorry. If I meet you again, it'll be 20 billion years too soon.
Goodbye, you lazy, big-nosed, rubber-faced bastard.
I fear, Baldrick, that you will soon be eating those badly chosen words. I wouldn't bet you a single groat that you could survive 5 minutes here without me.
Oh, come on, Mr. B. It's not as though we're going to get murdered or anything the minute you leave, is it?
Hope springs eternal, Baldrick.
Coming!
Let me, and let this dagger's point prick out his soft eyeball, and sup with glee upon its exquisite jelly. Have you the stomach? I have not killed him yet, sir. But when I do, I shall have the stomach and the liver, too. And the floppily doppelies in their horrid glue. What if a servant should hear us in our plotting?
Ha ha!
Then shall we have servant sausages for tea. And servant rissoles shall our supper be.
You've come clean at last, have you, you bloody little poor person?
No, not me. The actors downstairs, they're anarchists.
Anarchists?
Yeah, I heard them plotting. They're going to poke out your liver, turn me into rissole, and then suck on your exquisite floppily-doppelies.
Well, what are we going to do?
Well, Mr. Blackadder says when the going gets tough, the tough hide under the table.
Of course. Well, where is he?
He's in Sardinia.
What? Why?
Well, you were rude to him, so he left.
Oh, no! What a mad, blundering, incredibly handsome young nincompoop I've been. Oh, what are we going to do? If we go downstairs, they'll chop us up and eat us alive. Oh, no! Do!
Good evening, Your Highness.
Oh, Blackadder.
4 minutes, 22 seconds, Warwick. You owe me a groat.
Thank God, here we desperately need you.
Oh, me, sir? Mr. Thicky Black Thicky Adder.
Just not
so hopelessly drivelly can't write for toffee crappy butler. Mr. Brilliantly undervalued butler who hasn't had a raise in a fortnight.
Take an extra 1,000. Guineas? Per month?
All right, what's your problem?
Well, the actors have turned out to be vicious anarchists. They intend to kill us all.
What, are they going to bore us to death?
Stavros, Baldrick overheard them.
I did.
Are you sure they meant it, sir?
Oh, quite sure. Baldrick, how far apart were their legs?
Oh, this far.
Yeah, and their nipples?
That far.
All right, sir. I'll see what I can do.
To torture him, I lust. Let's singe his hair and up his nostrils. Hot bananas thrust.
Rehearsal's going well, gentlemen.
Be gone. A mere butler with the intellectual capacity of a squashed apricot can be of no use to us.
Indeed, yes, sir. Your participation is as irritating as a potted cactus in a monkey's pajamas.
Well, in that case, I won't interrupt you any longer. Sorry to disturb, gentlemen.
Blackadder, thank God you're safe. Well, what happened?
Sir, there was no need to panic. It was all perfectly straightforward.
Well?
They're traitors, sir. They must be arrested, brutally tortured, and executed forthwith.
Bravo!
But, Your Highness, there's been a terrible mistake.
That's what they were bound to say, sir.
It was a play, sir. A play. Look, all the words you heard written down on that tape.
Textbook stuff again, you see. The criminal's vanity always makes him make one tiny but fatal mistake. Theirs was to have their entire conspiracy printed and published in play manuscript. Take them away.
That, we beg for mercy.
Mercy, please, sir.
Mercy.
I've only got one thing to say to you. Macbeth. Macbeth.
Well done, Bladder. How could I ever thank you?
Well, you can start by not calling me Bladder, sir.
Macbeth. Of course, Bladder. No sooner said than done. No hard feelings?
No, absolutely none, sir. It's good to be back in the saddle. Did I say saddle? I meant harness.
Bravo! So we're the best of friends as ever we were.
Absolutely, sir.
Hurrah!
In fact, now that the evil Mossop and Keenrick have got their comeuppance, the Drury Lane Theatre is free. I thought we might celebrate by staging a little play that I've written.
Oh, what an excellent idea. And with my newfound acting skills, might there be a part in it for me, do you think?
I was hoping that you might play the title role, sir.
What a roaringly good idea. What's the play called?
Thick Jack Clot sits in the stocks and gets pelted with rancid tomatoes.
Excellent.